Praise the Lord. Amen. So I got the recording on. It is Easter morning, 2021, April 4th. And as I mentioned earlier, I rarely do anything traditional or in a traditional manner. But it is the day that most of the people celebrate the death or the resurrection of Jesus. I think the Eastern Orthodox Church, they just happened to coincide this week. Because generally the Eastern Orthodox Church ties their celebration of Easter to Passover, and most of the rest of the church goes by a different formula. We sang this morning about the cross. We sang this morning about love being crucified and rising again. We sang this morning about Christ the Lord being risen. And we recognize that Jesus Christ came and lived on this earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, laid down his life, was crucified, and rose again. We have to understand that this isn't an isolated incident. This isn't just something that happened. This was part of God's plan. And the reason, we have to go back and remember the reason God made this plan. Remember back in the garden, way back in the Garden of Eden, you had one rule. Don't do this. What do people do? If that's the thing I can't do, guess what I'm going to do? And we see it all in our lives. In John 12, beginning with verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus, walking on this earth, talking with his disciples, had the anguish of knowing what was coming. He tried to tell his disciples several times that he would be put to death. And they didn't seem to get it. They didn't seem to understand. One of my favorite times is Jesus says, "We're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be raised again the third day." To which James and John says, "Oh, by the way, when you get to your kingdom, can you put one on the right hand and one on the left hand? Hello, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be put to death and I'm going to be raised again the third day." And their thought was, "Yeah, but what about us? We know it's going to happen to you, okay? Well, what about us? What's in it for me?" How many times do we see that in our life? Jesus anguished in this passage. He says, "Can I say, Father, save me from this hour? This is the reason why I came." Jesus came with this in his mind, this understanding. We can go back and look at some of the prophecy on it back in Isaiah, in Isaiah 53. Let's take a look at verses 3 through 5. Talking about the suffering servant, talking about Jesus, says he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The prophecy way back in Isaiah said this is coming, this servant is coming, and things are going to happen to him. In this passage in Isaiah 53, it's not in a verse that we were going to read, it says his visage was so marred, his face was so messed up, you couldn't recognize him. They plucked out his beard. They stabbed a crown of thorns on his head. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the plant in the United States called a crown of thorns. And it's got these cute little bitty thorns. They're about maybe a half an inch long. You go over in Israel, and the thorns that they have on these branches are 2 inches long. Very, very hard. I mean, they use them for, you know, tipping darts, tipping spears. They use them for weapons. This branch. And that's what they shoved into his head. He was beaten. He was bruised so that Scripture says he was not recognizable. He knew that was coming and willingly did it. Why would he do that? Let's go back to Isaiah 53, but we're going to drop down to verses 10 through 12. This is the promise. There's such a sweet promise in Scripture. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he, that is God, shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was punished with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." When you claim his soul as a sacrifice for your sin, the Heavenly Father looks down, sees that, and is satisfied. This is written 600 years before Jesus was born. Amen. That promise that it was coming. In the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the great cloud of witnesses, it talks about those who went on before us, and it, you know, gives some by name, but it goes on talking about so many. He said they saw something. They held out in faith, knowing something was coming, that even though they didn't experience it, they knew it was coming. They knew that he who promised was faithful. God has been faithful all along. All the way back in the garden, he made the promise that Shiloh was coming. Peace personified was coming. All the way through Scripture, there's revelations of who Jesus is going to be. Who Jesus was going to be, that he was coming. That promise that God was going to make a way. That sin that took place in the garden that separated man and woman from God. God said, "I'm sending an atonement. I'm sending a way for reconciliation." It says here in this passage, in verse 12, down to the last part of it, says, "Because he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus was praying for us. Jesus was praying for me. Says, we have an advocate with the Father. Tells us in the book of 1 John that if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm. Praise God. Wow. How can a holy God just forgive sin if he hadn't made a way, if he hadn't made an atonement? In the law, in the book of Leviticus, it talks about that they would bring an offering and they would lay their hands on the offering as a way of transferring their sin onto the offering. Then the offering would be slain, a sin offering, and offered up to the Lord, recognizing our sin. When the temple was destroyed, the Jews had no way of having a sacrifice anymore. And how about us? When we go through life, we recognize that we've done so many things wrong. In fact, let's get into the Scripture first. Romans 3, verse 19. "We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Stop right there for just a minute. When we're born, when we're little babies, we are completely helpless and relying upon our parents, or relying upon others to care for us, to feed us, to change us, to give us the things that we need. And as we grow and we begin to gain understanding, we begin to gain knowledge, we begin to have a sense of fairness. Remember when somebody did something to you? It's like, that's not fair. We have that innate sense that I shouldn't be treated like that. And as we get a little older, we come to realize that maybe if I don't want to be treated like that, somebody else, I shouldn't treat somebody else that way too. It begins to build in us as we grow and as we learn that knowledge of sin, that knowledge of how things are. You know, in the book of James, it tells us to those who know to do good and don't do it, to them is a sin. Our conscience is set so that we can understand what is right from wrong. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is written on our hearts. We have an understanding. Yet, so many times, we don't know how to walk it out. We don't know how to do what is right. Even sometimes growing up in a church, hearing the Word of God still hasn't applied to our heart, and we still didn't get a deep understanding of how to do it. Didn't know how to walk in it. That's why I left the church at 17. I walked out of the door. And for 16 years, didn't darken a door until I finally stopped running from God and said, I give up. I can't do this. I need you to work in me. I know what is right to do, but even as Paul said, Paul tells us, he says, the good that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do, and the bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing. This is Paul. This is the guy that wrote a third of the New Testament. Had the same struggles that we all face. Yet, God is at work in him, and God works in us because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Verse, back in Romans 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us knew to do good and didn't do it at some point. Each and every one of us had an opportunity to do right and didn't do it, or purposefully did wrong. Guilty. Yet, because of Jesus, we can boldly come before the throne of grace because of what he has done on our behalf. Because he was willing to be crucified. Because he rose again from the dead to show that he had the power over death and over hell. Had the power of life. Even when he called out Lazarus from the tomb, before he called out Lazarus from the tomb, when he's talking with Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That doesn't mean this outer shell's not going to fall off. Outer shell's not going to fall to the ground. But what it means is he's sparked something alive in each and every one of us. And it's not his will that any should perish. Jesus came, or John 3:16, we're all familiar with it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Not God so loved this little corner of Alberg. God so loved the world. Not just God so loved America. God so loved the world. Each and every person is made in the image of God. We are sent to be ambassadors of Christ in this generation. Currently in this general vicinity. But in this area, we are here to be lights in the midst of the darkness. Look outside. Look at the people you encounter. Look in your newspaper. There's darkness all around us. Guess what? It's time to get busy. We are called here for a purpose and for a plan. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 26, to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, and that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He can be righteous and make us righteous. He can be holy and make us holy because the price has been paid for the sin. Why did Jesus come? Why do we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because it shows that we can have life in us. That we don't have to be the way we always were. We don't have to do what we've always done. We don't have to put up with things that have gone on in our lives. We don't have to be bound by the same turmoil and the same challenges and the same things we faced over and over again. We can say, Lord, please change me. I've told the story probably too many times, but I had a situation where I was very, very bitter and angry at somebody. And anytime her name was mentioned, I would grit my teeth. I'd grit my teeth loud enough that everyone in here could hear them. Very angry, very hurt. I'd been falsely accused. I had my family torn apart. It was an absolute mess. And one day I'm reading my Bible, and all of a sudden, it's like that morning, God put the verse in there that says, unless you forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And I was convicted in my heart. I'd been a preacher for years, but all of a sudden, that verse came to life in my heart. And I began to cry out, and I began to say, God, I will to forgive. Work it in me. And it didn't happen overnight. It took... I don't know how long it took. I know it seemed like it took forever. But every time her name would come up, every time the situation would come up, I would say, Lord, I know what your word says and I will to forgive. Lord, work it in me. And then suddenly one day, he had done it. One day, her name came up. One day the situation came up and I was no longer affected by it. I was no longer hurt by it. I was no longer angry. And I could give praise to God for what He had done. Amen. I hadn't seen her in 7 years. It's my ex-wife, by the way. I hadn't seen her in 7 years. I hadn't seen her or my kids in 7 years. And Debbie and I were down in Florida. We'd gone down to visit my grandparents. And on the way back to the airport, because where they live in Florida, where my sister-in-law lives in Florida, it's in the woods. You know, not too far from her house are 17,000 acres for sale. I mean, it's in the woods. On the way back, we were going to fly out of Jacksonville, which is about a 4.5 hour drive. But instead of going there the morning before the flight, we went the day early, and my dad and stepmom had just moved up from Hollywood, Florida to Valdosta, Georgia. And they were they had bought a house, but they couldn't move into it just yet. So they were in this house that they had rented for 1 month. We were there for one night. The one night we were there, my ex-wife called them to find out how to get a hold of me. It didn't happen until after I allowed God to work the healing in my heart. God has a plan and purpose. He will put people in your path. He has something in mind. But He draws us close that we can be a light and a witness and an example to the people around us. Because He knows what He's doing. Get off that tangent. Praise God. Verse 26, to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I don't stand before you because I think it's a really cool idea to be the preacher. I stand before you because I can't not be the preacher. I have to share the Word of God. I had one of the Facebook memories pop up. You get those? And I had one pop up this morning from last year. We were in the middle of the quarantine. And I couldn't get together. We couldn't get into church. We couldn't have fellowship in the church. We couldn't do any of that. And I started doing thoughts from the bonfire. I started doing little quick sermonettes sitting out by the fire just because the Word of God is inside me and needed to get out. God is at work in our lives. Romans 8, beginning with verse 9. Says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We are not bound up. We are not trapped. We are not held down. We are not helpless. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, giving us strength, giving us life, giving us purpose. That's what He's called us to do, is to show light and to show life to the people around us, to show God's love. Now, are you going to meet people that will get right up in your face and make things difficult? Absolutely. Praise God. If we were never tested in our faith would have no strength. If we were never tested in our witness, we would never be able to share it. If we ever decide to stand up in our own strength and do things our own way, guess what? We're going to end up stumbling and falling. But if we say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I need you to work through me. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. In due time, He will lift us up and He will guide us. Final passage of Scripture, Revelation 3, beginning with verse 19. Jesus speaking, He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus is calling each and every one of us to a deeper and closer walk each and every day. If you don't know Him, let me tell you, He can touch and change your life. If you know Him, let me tell you, He wants you to walk closer. And that starts with me, each and every one of us. Moses, when he came down from the mountain after being with God, his face shone so much that he had to wear a veil because the glory of God was on him. The people couldn't bear to look at him. His face was so bright. My face isn't that bright. Nobody's back there covering their eyes because I'm shining like the sun up here. I can walk closer with God. We can all walk closer with God. He desires a true, intimate fellowship with each and every one of us. That is why Jesus came. Remember what we started with? Jesus said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. It is for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus, knowing what was coming, knowing the end from the beginning, was willing to come and lay down his life. Remember when he was 12 years old, he told Mary and Joseph, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? I had to do this. It's what's required of me. It's what I'm called to do, what I came to do. Jesus came into this world knowing what was coming. The prophets and everybody along the lines had laid it out. Even Anna and, I'm going to say Zechariah and probably be wrong, but the priest in the temple who said that...
Simeon.
Right. The one who said, now, Father, let me go in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation. The priest who saw this baby and knew that it was a fulfillment of God's promise. God has a plan and purpose in our lives. He's called each and every one of us to draw close to Him. He wants to walk with us each and every day. Today's the day to celebrate resurrection. I say again, every day we need to celebrate the resurrection, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He came to change my life and yours. And I don't know about you, but I sure needed changing. And I continue to need changing. I continue to need more of Jesus each and every day. Because when I'm on my own, I make a mess. I can be sarcastic. I can be mean. I can be petty. And I have to cry out to the Lord to change me. And sometimes I remember too, and sometimes I slip and have to repent. But He calls each and every one of us to be His light, to be His witness, to be an ambassador to this generation, to the generation He's placed us in. You're not here by mistake. You're not here by accident. He has you here right now for His plan and purposes. And His plans and purposes are perfect. Amen. Father, we do thank You for Your word. And we thank You, Father, for the invitation to draw close to You. We thank You, Father, that You made the way of reconciliation, that Jesus came and He paid the price for each and every one of our sins, that You loved the world so much You gave your only begotten Son that we might draw close to you, that we might come boldly into the throne room, that we might come boldly into your presence. Scripture tells us that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, praying for us, to be in our advocate, to be our defense attorney. No, that sin is already paid for. I paid it myself. I know it's paid. Father, we thank you that before the foundations of the world, you had a plan in place because you looked through the pages of time and knew what was to come. And you looked through the pages of time and knew each and every one of us. And you reach out and you made a way. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you, Father, for the newness of life. We thank you, Lord, that your tender mercies are fresh and new this morning, this new day, that this is a day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We give you all praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.